I'm excited to share with you today our scripture lesson, which is found in the book of Romans, chapter 9, verse 1 to 5. As you're opening up your book to Romans 9, 1 to 5, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time to read your word, to have your word shared with us. And Lord, we understand, as your word tells us, that as we encounter your word, we encounter your Son, Jesus Christ, who is the Word made flesh. Prepare our hearts and open up our minds that we may hear what it is you want us to, that we may draw closer to you, be encouraged or challenged as you see fit. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Romans chapter 9, verse 1 to 5. I'm speaking the truth in Christ. The I is Paul. I'm speaking the truth in Christ. I'm not lying. My conscience confirms it by the Holy Spirit. I have great sorrow and unceasing anguish in my heart. For I could wish that I myself were accursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my own people, my kindred according to the flesh. They are Israelites. And to them belong the adoption, the glory, the covenants, the giving of the law, the worship, and the promises. To them belong the patriarchs, and from them, according to the flesh, comes the Messiah, who is over all, God blessed forever. Amen. My first Sunday here with you was a month ago, today. And I opened up with another verse from Romans, and it was chapter 7, Romans chapter 7, and it was Paul talking about the difficulty and the warring that he does in his own body, where he wants to do good, but sometimes he finds that it's difficult for him to do good because his body wants to do bad. And how we in our own lives have the very similar struggle as this. We find in Romans chapter 9 another struggle and source of anguish in the life of Paul. Before we go into this, though, so we can more fully appreciate what Paul's going through, let's do a little background first. Much of this background you're going to know already. You see, Paul's a Jew. Not just any Jew, Paul's a Pharisee. And Pharisees were the men of the day who took it upon themselves to do what they could to protect the law. The law was given to them by God, and the law is considered to be the first five books of the Bible, also known as the Pentateuch. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Those are the books of the law. The Pharisees, they were kind of the police of the law. They taught and they encouraged and they dealt punishment upon those who broke the law. Now, Paul, in his time, was one of the best Pharisees. He was a rising star, a young man who had such zeal and motivation and energy and charisma for the law that he was rising in the ranks of the Pharisees. He saw during this time that there was a small Jewish sect that had split off from his understanding of the law. They were called the Way, eventually called Christians. And Paul saw them as problems, because they didn't believe the way he did. They didn't live the way that he did. They were different, and they were bucking the system. And Paul didn't appreciate that. So in his zeal and zest for the law, he persecuted them, and he did a wonderful job at persecuting them. The same zeal that he showed to move up in the ranks, he showed in taking the early Christians and throwing them in jail, getting them fined, or killing them through stoning or whatever means he could get his hands on. He was good. Then one day, in his way to Damascus, Jesus met him. And Christ opened up his eyes by blinding him. Opened up his eyes that indeed there is a Messiah. The promised figure through prophecy. And that promised figure in prophecy was Jesus Christ. And Paul's eyes and heart were so open. And Paul felt so much love that his life was changed. To the point of, instead of going out into the world and giving persecution, to anyone he could meet who he thought deserved it, he went out into the world and gave love and the message, the gospel message, to anyone he could meet. His heart was so filled with gratitude. And it was a powerful message. Still is a powerful message. He had influence and power, and people were following Jesus Christ through the words of Paul. Many of us know that when Paul went, he was called by God as a tool to go out and give the gospel message to the Gentiles. Not the Jewish people, but the Gentiles. And he was effective. In fact, so effective through Jesus Christ that some of the Jews of the day got jealous of the power that Paul was seeming to wield, and then they persecuted him. And Paul was it's kind of weird. Paul was thankful that he was persecuted in the name of Jesus Christ because he saw that as a blessing. But he didn't like being persecuted. But on top of that, he didn't like that some of the Jewish leaders were trying to drive people away from Christianity, away from what he saw as truth, to a more to life under bondage, under the law. He hated that. So frustrated he became with the Jewish people. Not all of them, just the Jewish persecutors, who he called Judaizers. So frustrated he was that, well, what the Judaizers wanted of the Gentiles was, in order for them to believe in Jesus Christ, they said they had to be circumcised. They had to be under the law and had to come into Israel in order to believe and receive salvation through Christ. Paul didn't see it that way. He saw that Jesus came for all the world. So Paul was so frustrated in one of his letters to the Gentiles, he said, I'm so fed up with these Judaizers that say that people have to be circumcised, that I just wish that they would go the whole way on themselves and castrate themselves. He was just fed up with them. He couldn't take it anymore. But what we see is that Paul is not just a simple man, he's fairly complex. For even though he is frustrated with those who are trying to pull people away from Christianity, he still loved the Jewish people. He had a deep yearning and desire that they may know Jesus Christ. Now, you may say that, yeah, but he was called to go to the Gentiles, not the Jews. Well, it's true. But Paul had a routine, a habit. Every single time, always, 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 he would go into a new town. The very first place he would go would be what? Synagogues. Every single time. He brought the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ to the Jews first. His heart yearned for them. He was so gracious for the way that Christ turned his life around that he wanted them to experience the same kind of joy also. And his heart broke. Broke. In fact, the scripture that we read today said, my heart is full of sorrow and anguish because my own people deny to experience the kind of joy I have felt through Jesus Christ. I like this about Paul. My favorite points about Paul are usually in his moments of anguish. I don't know why that is. But he loves the gospel message so much. And we're told, too, to love the gospel message in our hearts and to live a life of gratitude and a life of love and a life of joy. But Paul also shows us another way to love the gospel message so much. And that is to have your heart break when you see that there's other people in this world who are in bondage, slavery to sin and addiction, whose lives are going down the toilet, and you know that Jesus Christ can help. To the point where Paul's heart broke and was in anguish because people denied the kind of love that he was trying to freely give through Jesus Christ. Through Jesus Christ, Paul gives us a challenge. Sometimes I don't think our heart breaks enough. Sometimes I wonder when we see someone some of the kind of evangelism that we see within the church, and this is general church, and maybe this doesn't happen quite as much anymore, but I know it did, were people who would go door to door or stand at street corners preaching, and they would give the gospel message to someone, and if that person said, no, thank you, you know, very polite about it, they would say, okay, that's fine, and they immediately move on to someone else. There's not enough time to allow the heart to break. Not enough time to allow the sorrow to seep in, to understand that there's something that we're handing out freely through Jesus Christ that could change lives and could melt and mold people and help them in their deepest struggles and their deepest needs. That I don't think we're sad enough when people say no to that. Paul challenges us to look at the people around us and to love them to such a degree of not only joy, but also to love them to such a degree of sadness. Not the kind of sadness that sends us into a tailspin of depression and not doing anything. But the kind of sadness that motivates us to love all the more. The kind of sadness to help push us forward into a loving relationship that allows us to feel emotions that are as strong as happiness and sorrow. All so that they may know the love and gratitude of Jesus Christ that we've experienced in our lives. It's easy to experience joy in Jesus Christ. It's a whole higher level to experience a heartbreak because someone doesn't have Christ, and we know that it will help so much. Paul went there and continually went there every time he went to a new town. I pray that the Lord breaks our hearts enough and chips away the stones and the barriers that we've set up and allow our heart to be mushy enough that it too can break out of love for those around us. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that we see within your servant Paul a breaking heart for those whom he just wants to know you. And Lord, we thank you also that your heart broke for us as you prayed for us in the Garden of Gethsemane, wanting us also to know you and to know your Father. May our heart too break. May that be a motivation for us to love you all the more and to share the gospel message with those around us, that your name may be praised. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.